the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
You know, if you ever find yourself wondering, is America really living up to all she can be? Just remind yourself, even a slithering snake like Adam Schiff can make it to the U.S. Senate. God bless America. Oh, California, you just keep doing you, okay? I'm sorry, folks. I totally failed you last time. By the way, thank you for joining me. This is Spin Sold Separately, and I am JD. Thank you for being here. How on earth could I have listed off the who's who of celebrities that went goo goo gaga over Kamala Harris without mentioning George Clooney and Stephen King? And there are so many more. Kathy Griffin, Rosie O'Donnell. My goodness, these people are Trump derangement syndrome case studies. Unbelievable. I must say, I'm pretty darn happy that there haven't been any riots so far. I mentioned I was a little concerned about possible unrest if the result didn't go the way a certain segment of the population wanted it to, but I think the result was convincing enough that even the rioters said, well, maybe we'll wait for next time. Still have to get through the inauguration, though, so I guess we're not completely out of the woods yet. But boy, I got so fired up talking about the legacy media, as I am wont to do in that last episode, I kind of made it sound like I forgot we actually won. We actually won. This is awesome. I'm grateful. I'm confident. And I really, really do feel this is going to be better for everyone. I really do feel that way. I was kind of looking forward to being able to maybe back off the actual election a little bit and talk about some other things. You know, it was a really hard fought race and everybody's kind of tired and, you know, okay, most of the votes have been counted. We kind of know where we're going to be sitting after this. Maybe everybody will take a couple of weeks off. And then I remembered, oh yeah, we're talking about Donald Trump, who has more energy than I can even wrap my brain around. The man is 78 years old and just spent the better part of, what, a year and a half, almost 2 years, campaigning for the third time for president, which no one in our lifetimes has ever done. He's like a machine. Again, I don't care what you think about him personally. You can like him, dislike him, whatever. It is undeniable that this man, he doesn't have an off switch. I mean, I'm expecting that at least for a week or two, he's going to go back to Mar-a-Lago and just kind of rest, relax, and, you know, play some golf and talk to some people and get some preliminary ideas for his cabinet together. Nope. It's been a fire hose of information and nominations today. This isn't even what I was really planning on talking about. I wanted to get into like exit polls and, you know, some really interesting stuff in there for a stat geek like me. I might have to save that for another day. This is just, it's coming in so fast. I can't even keep up. I mean, people are asking me, hey, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? Oh, by the way, Matt Gaetz just got nominated for Attorney General. Oh, God, that Washington bureaucracy is so getting what it deserves. And they're going to get it good and hard for 4 long years. I hope they're ready for it. You know, but when I first heard that name, and, you know, it was one or two of the others where I'm like, oh, you know, that's a little out there. I thought, you know, are all of these really worth the fight? You know these are going to be contentious nomination battles. Even in a Republican Senate, you're going to have to sit through all these hearings, and it's going to get contentious, and all the controversial stuff about these people is going to get brought up by all the Democrats and over again, and this is going to probably take longer than it needed to. But so I was wondering if all of these nominations were really worth the fight. And then I remembered what they did to him. And I remembered who he tried to surround himself with that first term, trying to bring in people that were more establishment and kind of knew how things were done in D.C. and helped him kind of grease the wheels for, you know, a bunch of people that had never really been in politics before. You know, none of his family had. He hadn't. So he trusted a lot of establishment types, and they backstabbed him. He's not one of them. He didn't want to be one of them. And they, a good number of them, turned on him. He wasn't going to make that same mistake again. He's not making that same mistake again. And you can say what you want about some of the names he's put forth, and I'll kind of run through them here real quick. I mean, like I say, it's happening faster than I can even keep up with. But he's not going to make that mistake. He is going to make sure that the people around him that he is nominating are on his side. And of course, the legacy media is going bonkers. Oh, he's just nominating people that are going to do his bidding. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the part when Joe Biden nominated a bunch of MAGA Republicans to his cabinet. These people are so ridiculous. This is why I think some of it might be an act. Like, you guys know that Joe Biden nominated a bunch of people that were going to do his bidding, right? Did Barack Obama nominate a bunch of people that were going to do things he didn't like? That weren't going to help him advance his agenda? Did he nominate a bunch of judges that completely disagree with his worldview? This notion that Donald Trump is the first president in United States history to nominate a bunch of people that think like he does, it's so typical legacy media stuff, getting all twisted up in a knot about extremely normal, expected things like presidents nominating people that agree with them. And I just love that he's playing all the hits. The Christie Gnomes. Matt Gaetz. It's so good. This bureaucracy is getting what it deserves good and hard, and I am here for all of it, and I hope you are too. Before we get into the actual nominations, and I am going to hit just a tiny bit of this exit poll stuff if I have time. I might just save that for an episode all its own, but because I'm a stat geek and you're probably not, but the degree to which the left still cannot come to grips with how they lost this race, it's really, really something. A couple of them, even my favorite, Joe Scarborough, have started to look a little bit inward. Like, you know, the boys and girls sports was probably not a great idea. And of course, Scarborough's on his show. Oh, I've been saying this the whole damn time. Well, no, you haven't. Again, we have all the receipts. Don't try to go back and change history. But a couple of them have looked inward and are starting to question, you know, maybe demonizing everyone isn't the greatest idea. And yeah, these are good talks that the Democrats need to start having. Because personally, I like it better when there are two competent, sane, reasonable parties that differ on policy, but not insanity. I can't wait to get back to that. I hope that we do, because it makes everybody better. When your competition is better, you are better. You lift your own game because your competition is lifting their game. It's better for everyone when we have, I would like to see more than two parties. You know, hopefully we'll get there someday, but we're stuck with the two we got right now. We are better when both of these parties are competent, reasonable, and actually present a legitimate option. Because for me and a number of people that voted for Donald Trump, the Democrats were not a legitimate option for all the reasons we've talked about. I do look forward to the day that they moderate. Like I said, they need to moderate. Trying to help you guys. But no. Endless. It's only getting worse. The Joy Reids, the Sunny Hostins, they speak it like such fact. Well, of course it was racism. Of course it was misogyny. Of course it was sexism. And nobody on their panels ever challenges them. They just take it, swallow it whole, as if it was provable fact. Hey, Sonny, I missed the part of the exit polls where they said, 98% of racists voted for Donald Trump. I don't see that here. It's almost like that question wasn't asked, because it doesn't need to be, because it's 2024. I'm very tired of people throwing around words like that. Used to mean something. Racism used to mean something. But you know who gets to hide in plain sight when everybody is called racist? Actual racists. Actual misogynists get to just walk around being misogynistic, because half the country has been deemed misogynistic and sexist. One of these days, these people are going to check their calendar and realize it's not 1963 anymore. It is 2024. And we have come so far in every possible way as far as civil rights, women's rights, voting rights. Yes, we made all the mistakes in the book as a young country trying to mature and trying to find our way. The progress that has been made in this country over the last 60 to 75 years is unmatched in the rest of the world. It is unmatched. There are still countries out there where women can't vote, where women can't drive, where gays are killed on sight. This is still happening in the world in 2024. It is not happening in the United States. Can you find a singular racist out there? Well, of course you can, because human beings are capable of terrible things, and you're never going to be able to root out every vestige of racism from the human race. It is nowhere near what it was, even 40 or 50 years ago. During the segregation era, the Jim Crow era, the pre-civil rights era, pre-civil war, we have come further than any other society in the history of humankind. And I think it's about time we start talking like we have. I've talked about how much I love the West Wing, even though Bradley Whitford has gone literally off the deep end in real life. I loved him in that show. He made the show. God, I loved it. I loved the whole thing. There was an episode in that show. I think it went 8 years. Early in season one, there was an episode where, I'm going to give you the very Cliff Notes version here. Basically, one of the president, Martin Sheen's, one of the president's department heads accused a Republican, I don't know if he was a congressman or senator or something, accused a Republican in Congress of being racist. And it basically stopped the news cycle for like an entire day. This whole episode completely revolved around this one exchange between this cabinet secretary and this Republican congressperson and her calling him racist. That was the whole show. I would love to get back to that. I would love to get back to a place where when somebody is accused of being racist, it literally becomes the story of the day. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to get back there. I think we have neutered that word to the point that nobody even listens to it anymore. They hear it and they roll their eyes. Whatever vestiges of racism are left out there, whatever few actual racists still exist in 2024, vile as they are, I think they're loving that more than anybody. Because if everybody's racist, nobody's racist. And I hope one of these days the left figures that out. Monday was Veterans Day. As you know, my affection for veterans runs deep. One of the biggest regrets of my life, possibly the biggest, is not joining the military after I got out of high school. I mean, if I could go back and change one thing, I really do think that would be it. But I'll be honest, I didn't have the courage. I didn't have the guts. I didn't have the conviction. I didn't have the confidence at the time. You know, for an 18-year-old, even if you feel strongly about it, that's a big leap. I didn't have the guts. I will absolutely admit I didn't have the guts, and God bless each and every one of our soldiers, young and old, that have that confidence, that have that courage and that conviction. 1.3 million servicemen and women have died defending this country. Between 15 to 20 veterans commit suicide every single day. We have to do better for them. My hope was that Tulsi was going to be the answer. Turns out she's going to be, I believe she was nominated for Director of National Intelligence today. That's a good thing, too. Tulsi is going to excel at any post that she is trusted with in this administration. My hope was that she would be in charge of veteran affairs, but I'm sure President Trump will make a very high-level, high-quality selection for that department. But no veteran should ever be homeless, ever again. No veteran should ever be forgotten. No veteran should ever go hungry on the street. We need to give them the care that they so richly deserve and that many of them so desperately need. Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. God bless each and every single one of you. Quick recap of the election results, which, yes, 8 days later are still coming in. Yes, California is still counting votes. The AP did finally call Arizona and Nevada officially for Donald Trump. So yes, he did sweep every swing state. and won the Electoral College 312 to 226, as we expected. The Senate ended up 53-47. Both the Arizona and Nevada races that were taking a while to figure themselves out. Both of those went to the Democrats. The Nevada one was pretty close, down to about 22,000 votes. And Arizona, that gap had gotten to over 70,000 with 95% reporting. So even the very conservative, when it comes to calling races, AP did finally call that one as well. Latest tally for the House of Representatives has the Republicans leading 217 to 208. You need 218 for the majority, so the Republicans are almost there. And it is looking very much like we are going to end up right about where we were before. The Republicans had a four-seat advantage in the last Congress. It looks like it's going to be very close to, if not identical, to that. California is up to 86% reporting now after 8 days. So maybe they will, in fact, be done before the midterms. California. Yeah, they elected Adam Schiff to the Senate with 60% of the vote. I'm starting to give up hope for California. If you can watch that dolt for the last 8 years spew the endless lies night after night on cable news and elect him with 60% of the vote to the United States Senate, I'm sorry, you're no longer making any sense to me. My brain just cannot get there. He's an absolute snake. He's a pathological liar. And he just won a Senate seat that he will never, ever lose. Great job, California. You just keep doing you. So, yeah, I'm not going to get into the... I'm going to save the exit polls for another day. I've got... how many do I have here? Oh, 66 of them. Did I say I like statistics? It is fascinating. There's some really good stuff in there, but you know, I don't want to just try to wedge that into the middle of an episode. That's probably going to take a good half hour to go through those in any kind of meaningful detail all by itself. So I'm going to skip over that and save that for the next episode. One thing I want to do here. Apparently, the legacy media is having a very hard time, even to this day, figuring out why Kamala Harris lost last Tuesday. As you know, I have listed off many a reason why I did not support Kamala Harris in this race. But the Democrats seem to be having a hard time. So I was lucky enough to stumble across a soundbite from a quote-unquote political analyst that I really feel like captures just about every single reason. In 1 minute and give or take 40 seconds, this woman manages to exhibit just about every characteristic that I find so off-putting. And she managed to do it all in less than 2 minutes. I'm going to play you this soundbite here. This is going to be the first soundbite I've ever played. So I really, really hope that this does what it is supposed to do and comes through at an audible level that you can actually hear. And if I can actually figure out how to do this, this can kind of become a regular part of the show because it sounds better when it's in their own words than when I'm trying to quote them. Now, this woman calls herself Dr. Arlene. I don't care what her last name is, it doesn't matter. Dr. Arlene is a former professor of political science and has spent 40 years studying politics, government, and elections. That is on her own YouTube page. She decided to go on various platforms. I believe this one came from TikTok and post the following video. Now, again, I'm not hooked up for video yet, but you will hear the audio, and it is a case study in what is so off-putting about the left as it currently exists in this country. I'm going to play the whole thing. We'll listen to it together. I hope this comes through as loud and clear as I'm planning on. So here she is, in all her credentialed glory, Dr. Arlene.
Okay, so... we're closing in on almost 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I've been tracking everything that's been going on across the country today. And my most important encounter because when I went out to get my champagne, I was talking to the guy in the store, of course, asking him, did he vote? And he said he did early voting, and he asked me if I early voted. He asked me, you know, why I was getting the champagne. And I said, because I'm going to be toasting Madam President tonight. And he just looked at me with kind of like a smirk on his face. And I said, you know, she's going to win this, right? And he says, oh, well, it's very, very close. And I said, no, it's not. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, no, it's not. The women of America are making their voices heard. Reproductive rights is what it all comes down to. And the women are voting in numbers relative to men that are unbelievable. She's won this. And I said to him, she's going to take every one of the swing states plus Iowa. And he said, oh, but the numbers are so close. I said, I'm a political analyst. I'm telling you right now, the numbers are there. She's taking this election. And then I said to him, you realize, and he didn't tell me who he voted for, but of course I knew. And I said, you do realize you wasted your vote, right? And I didn't care. And I walked out with my bottle of champagne and happily walked home. Bye-bye.
She looks exactly how she sounds. Whatever you're picturing in your mind right now, that's exactly how she looks. And the look on her face during that entire, I don't even have the words what to call that. One of my least favorite human traits is baseless arrogance. I hate arrogance to begin with, but when it is completely baseless, it grinds on my senses like 60 grit sandpaper. That woman encapsulated absolutely everything that I detest about the credentialed class in this country. I'm going to use the word only right now so that you know I'm never going to use it. I refuse to use the word elites. There is nothing elite about these people, and there is nothing elite about Dr. Arlene, who, again, 40 years that she has spent analyzing politics. You heard her prediction that Kamala Harris would sweep the swing states and win Iowa, and that the election wasn't even close, belittling the clerk at the liquor store that was selling her champagne for her little victory celebration that, oh, I'm so sorry, never freaking happened. She is one of a long line of left-wing activists masquerading around as analysts, professors, experts. These people have possibly forever degraded any level of credibility that their industries or their positions or their titles or their occupations may have once held. Some political analyst you are, doctor. You only missed that by, well, as bad as that left-wing propagandist I talked about on my last episode that made the very identical prediction. Some analyst you are. All those credentials, all those abbreviations and designations after their name, these people have confused that with importance. These people have confused education with intelligence. They are not the same thing. Congratulations. You've got designations after your name. That means you went to school, you took a class, you passed the test, you turned in your assignments, you got a grade. You passed the class. You passed enough classes to get the piece of paper that said you took and passed the classes. None of that translates to actual intelligence. And this last 10-year period in American history has been a case study in that. And I know that's the second time I've used the phrase case study, but this stuff is going to be studied someday. The degree to which Trump derangement syndrome makes otherwise smart people behave in completely psychopathic ways, makes otherwise smart people believe things that are provably false. And something else that's going to be studied for years to come is how this credentialed class, this class that feels like because they have a master's or a doctorate or a PhD, that they have some sort of level of exponential intelligence that the average person just can't comprehend. 40 years of political analysis led her to that prediction. And so absolutely sure of it that she posted it on the internet. And boy, it's out there forever. She's already disabled all of her social media. Sorry, Dr. Arlene. The internet lives forever. And that's just one example. This stuff is all over the place. I want two competent parties, but these people are so unlikable. I am in the middle. I am an independent. These people, almost exclusively on the left, are so unbelievably unlikable. They have pushed me and others like me into the right's camp right now, to the point where I'm openly cheering for Donald Trump to go in there and do absolutely everything he has promised to do. And in a minute, we're going to run through the nominees that he has put out there so far for various positions. I want him to run the table. I want him to go all in. I want everyone in Washington, D.C. to call, and I want him to clean house. These federal institutions that we rely on, that we implicitly trust, from the Justice Department to the Health Department to the State Department to our defense, these institutions have almost rotted to their core. Attorney General Merrick Garland has spent his entire almost 4 years in that position now, politicizing the Department of Justice, up and down, through and through. Anthony Fauci did more to damage the health industry, not the healthcare workers, but the healthcare bureaucracy in the government. Anthony Fauci did more to damage that institution's reputation in 6 months than it took to build over 100 years. What about the Department of Defense? Anthony Blinken? All our Defense Department has done is absolutely light a match to the Middle East. We've decided to fund Ukraine just enough to keep people dying on both sides, but getting no closer to the end of the war. They've provoked our enemies. Iran firing missiles into Israel. China threatening to blockade Taiwan. This is all happening as a result of the feckless foreign policy put forth by the Biden administration and a Department of Defense that is far more concerned about DEI and wokeism than it is about defending this country and promoting American ideals around the globe. What about Homeland Security? Alejandro Mayorkas? How's he done? In addition to other things, Homeland Security is in charge of the border and the Secret Service. How that man is still in that position is absolutely beyond me. It's like what Donald Trump says. Nobody in a Democrat administration ever gets fired, no matter how pathetically poor of a job you do. What has Alejandro Mayorkas done for this country? Under his watch, anywhere between 7.5 and 20 million illegal immigrants have come into this country, including terrorists, gang members, killers, and rapists. On his watch, an attempted assassin got on a rooftop at a Donald Trump rally from 150 feet away with a long rifle and came within millimeters of killing the man who would eventually become president for a second term. That's the legacy of Alejandro Mayorkas. So you'll forgive me, Democrats and the left, if I cheer on every single MAGA candidate that Donald Trump puts forward. Let's try the other side for a while, shall we? We've done the establishment thing over and over and over again, but we've done this for far too long. Let's see what Donald Trump's vision can really do for the country when he doesn't hold back. And he's not going to hold back. We'll get into these nominations in a second to wrap up here, but we've seen what a left-wing administration is capable of. And we've seen it for the last 4 years. Illegal immigration galore, wars all over the place, our enemies emboldened. One of our presidential candidates was almost assassinated twice. I say full steam ahead. Matt Gaetz, sure, bring it on. Kristi Noem, go for it. Have at it. Washington is going to get what it deserves. And if I didn't think this would be good for the country, I wouldn't support it, no matter how much I detest the legacy media and the bloated bureaucracy in Washington. If I didn't think this was going to be good for the country, I wouldn't support it. But I do, because it is. So here's what we have so far for cabinet nominations and other high-level positions that Donald Trump has actually attached names to. Starting with my favorite, the Department of Government Efficiency. If you've never heard of that, that's because it has never existed until now. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who will be tasked with assessing every department in the federal government and determining how much of it, if any of it, needs to remain. These two men are among the most brilliant business and economic minds of our generation, and they are the perfect people for this job. I cannot wait for the two of them to get to work. The border czar, Tom Holman. This is like manna from heaven. You want to talk about a guy who doesn't suffer fools. I believe he was deputy director of ICE in the first Trump administration. He is going to be the border czar. Here is Tom Holman making paper mache out of one Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mr. Holman, your name is on this. Is this correct?
Yes, I signed that memo.
So you are the author of the family separation policy?
I am not the author of this memo.
You're not the author, but you signed the memo.
Yes, a zero tolerance memo.
So you provided the official recommendation to Secretary Nielsen on family for the United States to pursue family separation.
I gave Secretary Nielsen numerous recommendations on how to secure the border and save lives.
But it says here that you gave her numerous options, but the recommendation was option three, family separation.
What I'm saying, this is not the only paper where we've given the Secretary numerous options to secure the border and save lives.
And so the recommendation, of the many that you recommended family separation.
I recommended zero tolerance.
Which includes family separation.
The same as is with every U.S. citizen parent gets arrested when they're with a child.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their...
If I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that
Mr.
father
Holman,
from his family.
Mr. Holman, with all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way. The Attorney General of the United States has made that clear.
That's our new border czar. I don't need to add anything to that. That was the day I fell in love with Tom Holman. Absolutely no nonsense, does not have room for people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when it comes to securing our border. There is no better man or woman for that job. Number three, Susan Wiles, for chief of staff. We talked about that. She was Trump's, I believe, co-campaign chair and is very, very well respected in Republican circles. Also is the first ever female chief of staff appointed by raging misogynist Donald Trump. Pete Hegseth has been tabbed for Secretary of Defense. Now, what you're going to hear from the left about Pete Hegseth is that, well, he was just a Fox News host and a weekend host at that. What does he know about defense? Pete Hegseth is a graduate of both Princeton and Harvard. He achieved the rank of major in the United States Army, having served time in Cuba, Iraq, and Afghanistan. His military record is out there for anyone to review. The implication that this is just a Fox News host is an insult to anyone who has ever worn the uniform. And this man is 10 times more qualified to serve this post than Tim Walz ever was to be vice president. This is another no-nonsense guy that knows what's wrong with our military. We have a recruitment problem that is going to cripple our military for a generation if we don't fix it starting today. Pete Hegseth has the right vision. Get the wokeism and the nonsense DEI out of our military and return it to what it was supposed to be, a force that is strong, well-trained, and ready for combat. We pray to God we never have to use it, but that's what our military is for, to be battle-ready to defend our country and our interests. That's what Pete Hegseth will return our military to. President Trump has also nominated Elise Stefanik to be UN ambassador. so she can go to the United Nations and absolutely destroy all the horrible people in the higher-ups of that organization, and I can't wait to see it. Stephen Miller will be his deputy chief of staff. Stephen Miller is another border hawk that was largely responsible for many of the very effective border policies that Trump implemented in his first term, including Remain in Mexico, among others. He will be a very large part of that effort once again. Trump has nominated Kristi Noem for Department of Homeland Security. I always liked Kristi Noem. I thought she was very good on COVID in South Dakota. I thought she had the right approach. I have always enjoyed her interviews. Call me a softy, but all the stuff that came out about her killing her dog the way she did, the story's out there. I'm not going to get into it now, but long story short, she came out with a book, I believe it was last year, and this story came out about this troublesome dog that she had, and that she did what apparently people in her neck of the woods do with troubled dogs. She brought it out to a field and killed it. Now, Trump isn't nominating her for dog catcher. He's nominating her for Homeland Security, the position currently held by Alejandro Mayorkas. Would she be an upgrade from that? 100%. I am no longer a fan of hers, only because I am such a softy when it comes to animals. I have two dogs. I've had four in my life. I get misty-eyed whenever I think about the two I no longer have. And I love the two that I have now with all my heart. And I understand that maybe where Kristi Noem is from, maybe it's just a different way of life. Maybe it's just a different way they handle things. And that's fine. If that's how things are done in other parts of the world, other parts of the country, so be it. I can't get around it. It's just the way she talked about it so callously when it came up. It was really off-putting to me. So I wish her well. I certainly hope she is successful in her position if she is lucky enough to be confirmed. We'll see what happens. I'm sure she'll do a great job, but on a personal level, that's just something I can't get around. John Ratcliffe has been tapped for CIA director. John Ratcliffe was a longstanding member of the House of Representatives and was a key ally of Donald Trump in his first term and was really instrumental in exposing the Russia collusion hoax and all the lies and all the deception involved, which we have gone over. But John Ratcliffe was largely responsible for exposing that. So another very staunch Trump ally. I will admit, I was wrong about Marco Rubio when I heard his name thrown about as a possible Secretary of State. My gut reaction was, I don't know. I even said on my podcast last episode, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure if he's strong enough. I'm not sure if he projects the strength we need and that we're going to need from our Secretary of State in this next administration to get the message to our adversaries that the party's over and it's time for everyone to get back in line. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but some Free Palestine from the River to the Sea troll was trying to chase him down, to pin him down on the conflict in Israel. And to make a long story short, this person thought she was going to get a viral moment, and he looked at her and said, "Is that camera on? Because I want you to record this." And he proceeded to lay out the exact policy in Israel that I support, and he followed that up by adding in the exact policy in Ukraine that I support. And he said it with conviction. He said it with confidence. He looked right into the camera and said, "This is absolutely what I believe. I'm not going to apologize for it. Deal with it. Goodbye." Okay. Nice job, Senator. I mean, Secretary. You sold me. So, very excited about that. And then, as I said, Tulsi Gabbard has been nominated for Director of National Intelligence. She is an absolute patriot. She will clean up all of this nonsense at DNI, and I'm extremely, extremely happy that she is going to be that involved. I wanted her in Veteran Affairs. I made that clear. This will do. National Intelligence is a key position, and yet another position that has failed on multiple levels in the recent history of this country, and It is going to be in very good hands with Tulsi Gabbard. This team, and it will be added to as the days go on. Like I said, Trump is, does he ever take a day off? Again, the man's 78. He just ran this whole campaign. Take a couple weeks up. Nope. We got to get the whole cabinet together. We're going to get them all together before the holiday season. I mean, I don't know what the heck he's thinking. He's still got the suit on every day, the bright red tie. He looks like he hasn't missed a beat. I mean, his energy just is never runs out. The man was doing 3 or 4 rallies a day down the stretch of the campaign. I'm tired just thinking about it. Oh, geez, I've had to start work an hour earlier the last couple of weeks. My shift changed, and I'm starting work an hour earlier than I have for about the last 5 years. I can't recover. I'm tired all day long. I could go to bed right now. It's 8 o'clock. But yet there he is, 3 presidential campaigns, what had to be an exhausting first term, all of this lawfare, all of these court appearances he's had to make. He is something to behold. His stamina for a man of his age that lives off Diet Coke and McDonald's, it's unbelievable. It really defies the laws of aging. He just doesn't seem to age, and his energy level, I mean, it dwarfs what mine is, and I'm barely half his age. But this team is responsible for returning confidence and trust back to these institutions, because a lot of them have lost it. We went over a few of them earlier. I mean, no one's been talked about for FEMA yet, but look at FEMA. This is a story I didn't even want to talk about, because when I first heard it, it was so unbelievable that I thought it had to be made up. So I didn't even talk about it. Well, it turns out it's real. In Florida, in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, a FEMA supervisor, not the director, at least that we know of, but a supervisor on the ground in Florida ordered his team to bypass and skip homes that had Trump flags or Trump signs in the yard while they were going door to door to assess the needs of the people affected by the hurricane. That actually happened. That supervisor has been fired, and now she's firing back, saying, look, I was just doing what I was told. I was just doing what my supervisors were telling me to do. I can't even comprehend it. You're walking around a part of the United States that has been decimated by a hurricane. People have died. People have lost livelihoods. People have lost pets. People have lost homes, cars. Their entire lives flipped upside down, in some cases quite literally. And we have people from the Federal Emergency Management Administration skipping over homes for political purposes. I didn't believe it. That's why I didn't talk about it on the last episode. I thought it was made up. No, it actually happened. And this could really blow up. I mean, if she's telling the truth, that she was only doing what she was told, yeah, mark my words, there's going to be a full-on investigation about this. I'm almost scared to learn about how high up in that institution that order went. That anybody in a position like that, emergency management, that anyone at any level is thinking about politics instead of just helping people in need, because that's why that organization exists. And there they are on the ground. Oh, yep, there's a Harris house. Oh, yep, okay, yep, we'll go to that one. Oh, there's a house with no sign. Okay, yep, we'll go to that one. Oh, there's a Trump flag. Nope, moving on. It's inconceivable. I'm still struggling for words to describe how I feel about that. But yeah, that actually happened, so stay tuned, and we are going to follow that like a hawk. But this is what I'm talking about. Fauci with the NIH. It just goes on and on and on. These people have abused and politicized every single institution in our federal government, and it has to stop. And that's why I say full steam ahead. If Trump wants to nominate every, at least as far as the left is concerned, controversial person that he can find for these positions, go for it. I want these people to be uncomfortable. I want these institutions to be rooted out of the poison of politicization that has obviously taken over so many of them. including our own military. Get the woke crap out of our military. They have enough on their minds, and they have enough at stake to not have to worry about pronouns. This is what I mean when I said we have high expectations. This is part of that. Part of it is the legislation that we hope to see in the very near future on the border, with taxes, with spending. But part of it is this. This isn't even legislative in nature. This is just getting into these multi-layered bureaucracies and cleaning out the toxins, eliminating the poisons that are killing these institutions. We need them. We need FEMA. We need the NIH. We need all of these institutions, but we need to be able to trust them. We need to believe that they exist in a non-political, non-partisan kind of way, that no matter who's in the White House or no matter who controls Congress, we're going to get what we need from these institutions. And it hasn't been that way for many years now. So, like I said, next time around, I'm going to get to the exit polls. And like, there's just some really fascinating stuff in there, stuff I did not expect to see. Some of it was as expected, some of it was not. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. It's really, really interesting stuff. And then I'm going to make sure, because we have to start saying goodbye to the current Senate Majority Leader, my favorite politician in Washington, D.C., Chuck Schumer, who sadly isn't going anywhere. He's just going to become the minority leader now. So no, we're not done with him yet. He's not riding off into the sunset to retire to wherever it is he's going to hopefully retire to someday. I wish him no ill will. I just want him the hell out of our government because he's a snake and he's one of the most dangerous politicians in the history of our country. But we'll get to all that. We're going to explore the Schumer files in the next episode as well. So that's what we're going to do. Exit polls and the Schumer files. And I think it's going to be very entertaining. And we'll, of course, we'll cover whatever happens between now and then. I mean, at the rate things are going, we might have the entire cabinet set by then. I mean, who knows? Ah, Trump, he never rests. He never rests. I mean, every time I bring up my X feed, oh, there's another video from Trump at Mar-a-Lago. When does this man sleep? Does it ever happen? I don't know. He's something else. Regardless of what you think of him, he's something else. So anyway, we're going to wrap here. Thank you so much for joining me. This is a lot of fun. Again, we're going to get into all kinds of different stuff here. But man, the news is just coming in so fast. I can't walk away from it. So we're going to keep coming back here. My goal is to do this twice a week. You know, maybe someday it becomes my day job. But as of right now, I have a day job that soaks up about 55 to 60 hours of my average week. So I fit these in when I can. I enjoy them so much. I'm going to make sure I continue to do it. And it is because of your support and your feedback and just all the positive reinforcement I have gotten from so many of you already. And I am so indebted to you guys for taking the time to search through Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, iHeartRadio, to search through it, find it, download it, and actually listen to it. It means the absolute world to me. Please continue to share with people that you think could benefit from it, that you think would enjoy it, and even some that you might think might be on the fence. We're trying to bring any and all in here. The more we get people talking together, even those that don't see eye to eye politically, the better. And the sooner we will get to the other side of this ridiculous polarization that is going on in our political climate right now, which is, like I said from the very beginning, is the reason I'm here. So please subscribe, please follow, please share. We are going to continue to grow this thing. I have so much planned for this. It is going to be so much fun. We're going to have so much fun. My appreciation knows no bounds, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you. We'll talk to you again soon. This has been Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Thank a veteran. And we'll talk to you next time.